consider myself a lucky person to be able to get to speak this morning. Adjunct professor of epidemiology from Harvard, Kamudi Jashapura, is joining us this morning. And first off, ma'am, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Have you used mouthwash today? I guess this is probably the first question I should ask. When I was reading an article about your research, and I was startled. Mouthwash twice a day could increase your risk of diabetes by 55%, and that includes blood sugar spikes in that 55%. I think a lot of people would be startled by that.
I'm sure they are. And no, I didn't use mouthwash today, and I don't regularly use mouthwash. I've never used mouthwash regularly. I don't know where and how this practice started, to be honest.
Well, I think one of the articles pointed to Listerine when it became popular, and the ads for that as well. But they, you know, people have washed their mouths out with, you know, whiskey and a lot of other things over the years. So let's first off talk about how this happens. What happens when you wash your mouth out with mouthwash, and how does it lead to the growing prospect of diabetes?
So a lot of mouthwash, as you may be aware from the advertisements, advertise that they kill most or all germs. They're either bactericidal or bacteriostatic, that is, they either kill the germs or they affect their function. And almost all the over-the-counter mouthwash contain some such ingredients that affect the germs in the mouth. If we think of germs in the mouth, there's always been a negative connotation of that, as has been about germs anywhere else in the body. But as people may be aware, growingly, we are increasingly aware of beneficial bacteria in the gut, for example. And more recently, there have been more studies that show that some bacteria in the mouth may actually be producing nitric oxide, like they help in part of the pathway that produces nitric oxide. For example, people know that spinach and beetroot and some fruits and vegetables are really good for you, and part of these benefits are through the nitrates that they contain. The bacteria in the mouth convert these nitrates to nitrite, which in turn gets metabolized into nitric oxide. And nitric oxide helps in so many metabolic processes, and a deficiency or lack of low bioavailability of nitric oxide is associated with increased risk of insulin resistance, diabetes, hypertension, metabolic syndrome in general.
I spoke to one doctor who once described it as a flora and fauna, and think of it as an ecosystem in your mouth, and there needs to be a balance.
Right, so it's not that you have to kill all the bacteria in the mouth. There's something about the bacterial profile. There's a mix of good and bad bacteria, and sometimes it goes out of whack, and then that's what causes the disease. So it's more about having an ecological balance of the bacteria in the mouth rather than trying to eliminate all the bacteria, which is not really very practical or necessarily good for you.
Your research subjects were between the ages of 40 and 60. Any thoughts? Because the Journal of Periodontal Research in 2013 also did an article and research that seemed to indicate this problem. Yours in this 40 to 60 age group, you know, over 3 years, the possibility of 55% increase of diabetes or blood sugar spikes. What happens to someone who already has diabetes or problems regulating their blood sugar and they use mouthwash more than once? I mean, we're talking about really pushing you off to the end of the spectrum? Or, I mean, are people out there right now who may be diabetic and use mouthwash or wondering why they have these spikes in their blood and they just don't realize it's because of a product they're using that they've been told is safe?
Yeah, I imagine the same pathways would hold for people with diabetes. We haven't evaluated that in our study, but in general, people with diabetes do have issues with their nitric oxide metabolism. They have lower bioavailability of nitric oxide. So I think the concerns may hold true for people with diabetes as well, although we can't say that from any specific studies that have evaluated it so far.
You know, there are parallels to your story that would give us reasons for national concern. A country that is not getting enough sleep, they called it actually an epidemic in journals published by the Center for Disease Control. We've got dietary issues because of how we eat, and we see this new research talking about childhood obesity and how this is going to affect them by the age of 35, that we're going to see a substantial group, I think around 30% of them, develop diabetes due to their weight. And then you throw the mouthwash issue, and you've got to wonder how many other issues are actually involved here that may be environmental that we aren't seeing when it comes to exacerbating what has really become a national issue, diabetes, overweight, in our food habits, that there's more than one component here apparently at work.
Yeah, absolutely. Like so many chronic diseases, there are many risk factors at play, and everything contributes to some extent. While our study is the first longitudinal study to show this association, we can't say for sure it's causal, but it needs to be replicated in other studies. And there are other clinical trials showing the impact of prescription strength antiseptic mouthwash on the nitric oxide metabolism and on blood pressure. So that's quite well shown in many other studies. The link with diabetes is new, and the connection mainly with over-the-counter mouthwash that everybody uses every day, not everybody, but a lot of people use every day. That's what's, this is the first study showing that, and it does need to be confirmed in other studies, but the biological plausibility is certainly there to raise concerns.
Right. There are a lot of things in the environment that are probably affecting us that we just don't know about yet. Now, I mean, because I'm thinking about more than one person who I've known over the years who has kept a bottle of mouthwash underneath the front seat. Many times they're salespeople. And you know, then you go have lunch, and, you know, maybe you had the pizza, and you take a slug of mouthwash before you go off see your next client. I know a number of doctors over the years that I've known doctors who smoke, who use mouthwash so that they quench that smell before they see their patients. I mean, I know people that do this because they're concerned about their interaction. They're doing it because they want to be presentable. They want to be pristine, clean. They want to get rid of the smell of that pizza slice. And I know a lot of people who do this, I read a travel journal. By the way, we're joined this morning by our adjunct professor of epidemiology, Kamudi Jashapur. I read a travel journal, and they said, oh, we hate Americans in this country. And a writer of the article said, well, how you can tell they're Americans? It says, well, their teeth are too white. And I kind of thought we have this, you know, appearance issue that comes into as well. And there's a lot of advertising convincing us that we should do this. I wonder what's next. What would you suggest to people who are concerned about this, but now I've heard you talk and go, well, if I can't use mouthwash, what should I use?
Yeah, so I'm sure there are other ways. I mean, brushing is one way to, of course, clean your mouth. It's a bit more convenient and quicker to use mouthwash. You could use a mint. You could use some other, thing that has a nice flavor. Maybe chewing gum. All these things need to be evaluated. And there could also be formulations of mouthwash that do not have antiseptic ingredients or that are really just purely for cosmetic reasons.
You know, when it comes to this item going forward, you're going to continue to do research on this?
I'm sure we are, yeah. We still have not been able to evaluate the bacteria per se or the nitrate, nitrite, markers, metabolism of the nitric oxide. So in this study itself, we have the potential to evaluate this further.
Good, because I remember the high school experiment with my biology teacher in high school about the digestive process, and the breakdown of sugars begins in the mouth. It's not just mastication, it's a chemical reaction that begins that breakdown. And I wonder if we think we're so doggone smart anymore that we failed it. We know things, and then we do the opposite thing. All right, we know that digestion begins in the mouth, especially in the breakdown of sugars, and then we stop it. I wonder how many other effects there are out there with items like this.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, there's still a lot to be evaluated and a lot more research to be done in this area.
Well, I'm kind of curious in how it turns out as well, because we're seeing this spike in diabetes. They thought it was tied to obesity. What if it's tied to obesity and other items we're doing?